Dave. Gina.
You got him all shook up.
We'll start with Ms. Gina Jennings, who is our Director of the Accounting Department and a member of our budget.
Great day to change a diaper.
Turn the light on.
A member of the Moms Club.
Yeah.
Dave, and a member of the Moms Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hiya.
We're not ready yet.
We're not ready.
What's that noise? I have no idea.
Huh? Drilling.
Helicopter coming in.
Drilling where?
Oh, they are drilling?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Doug knows.
County dental program.
Are they drilling somewhere?
I'll check into it.
You've had too much sugar.
Oh, they stopped.
George.
Too much coffee?
Too much sugar.
All right.
I can't begin since Dave left. It's a presentation to him.
Where'd he go to stop the drilling?
Stop.
There.
It has stopped. We stopped the drilling. Good job, Dave.
Well, as everyone knows, this is Dave Baker's last budget, so we wanted to do something special for him. So with this presentation, we have old photos contrasted with new photos, because the budget kind of looks at the future, the next year, 5 years. We wanted to show kind of where we've come from, and particularly what Dave has done the last 30 years. So contacted personnel, and they found this book. It was called Sussex County, Delaware, 301 Years Later. And this book was done about 30 years ago, and it shows the county how it looked pretty much when Dave started. And
is that a horse and buggy?
Well, some of the pictures, you know, I know he didn't start in the 1920s, but there's some of those pictures too.
Dave was here then too.
Yeah.
So we found this book, and we wanted to make sure we got permission, so we found the phone number of Robert Bennett, who had published the book. I guess he worked on it for 3 years, and we got a hold of his wife, Eleanor Bennett, and unfortunately, Mr. Bennett had passed away 6 years ago, and she was really excited for us to use the photos. She said that Mr. Bennett loved Sussex County. Born and raised in Sussex County, they lived in Bridgeville for about 50 years, he said. And she would be honored. She has 2 hard copies of the book left, and she would like Mr. Baker to have one of those hard copies. So it's a present from the Budget Committee, and we'd like to present the book to you.
Thank you very much. That is very nice.
Just a camera man. He's got cameras at work.
I don't know what the difference in them all are.
Thank you.
What's her first name?
I don't know. Thank you very much. That's quite an honor. I appreciate that.
And Ms. Bennett, we have a present for you to thank you for documenting the history of Sussex County.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Very nice.
What?
I don't know.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Fenner.
You're quite welcome. I really appreciate that.
Today we have the next item is a presentation of the fiscal 2012 budget, and we are pleased to present, the Budget Committee is pleased to make this recommendation to the County Council. This covers the year July 1, 2011 to June 30, 2012. And again, I'd like to introduce our Budget Committee, which includes Mrs. Susan Webb, our Finance Director, Kathy Roth, our budget cost manager, and Gina Jennings, our director of the accounting department. Over the past few months, this committee has been working on this proposal for your consideration. Each department head presented to our committee their departmental recommendations for next year's budget, and the departments included in their recommendation the objectives for their department for the upcoming year, revenue estimates for their department, and detailed expenditure requests, and also a priority list for line item cuts. Our committee, as in past years, worked with this information from each department to develop this budget that we're recommending today. We attempted to incorporate the County Council's wishes, of course, in this proposal. With revenues only modestly up 2% from this year's recession levels, we have not been able to address every need. However, there are changes here that are recommended. 5 years ago, general fund revenues totaled $63.4 million compared to $48 million in the proposed budget. That is a 24% decrease compared to 5 years ago. Although general fund revenues are expected to increase 2% this year, we must continue to carefully control and monitor our expenditures. County residents continue to face difficult household decisions due to the economic downturn. County employees realize this and will continue to adapt by working with less staff, cutting purchases, and cross-training to take care of other duties as needed. Because of their efforts and the County Council's direction, we have been able to continue to provide our services without tax and fee increases during this most difficult period. We'd like to thank the County Council for its leadership and patience as we continue to work through this economy, and we want to thank our department heads and employees for their hard work throughout the year, which makes this proposed budget recommendation possible. The first slide that the girls put this together with the pictures, and this is where we are right now. This is the foundation for the post office, which is this part of this building. The total budget is $139.2 million. It is up less than half a percent in total, or down less than half a percent in total, about $648,000. And the general fund is up 2.4%, but it's still 35% less than the 2006 actual for the general fund. Our capital improvement fund for non-sewer and water capital improvements is down 12%. Community development fund for housing rehabilitation is down 26% due to less federal funding available for these projects. Our sewer and water districts operations and maintenance and paying the debt service on bonds is up 8.5%. We have two new districts coming online next fiscal year. Our water and sewer capital projects budget is $48 million. It's down 5%. However, it is still a very large expenditure for continuation of construction projects. And I'd like to point out that this is a picture of the county council in the late 70s, and this is Mr. Cole's father.
Yes.
Charles Cole. Charles. General fund net income, even though revenues were reduced, we were able to cut our expenditures in fiscal 2010 and during the past few years, which this resulted in a small net income for fiscal 2010 of about $618,000. It reflects the change in our policy to focus on reducing on our ongoing cost in response to the economy. As you can see, the general fund budget has been reduced, and even though there is a modest increase or small increase this year in the proposed budget, it is still 17% below the 2008 level of $57.9 million. In terms of the revenues, realty transfer tax is projected to be our largest revenue, a little bit larger than property taxes, although they're very close. The two represent a little over half of the general fund budget. The general fund covers expenses for almost all of our operational costs except for water and sewer districts. And the realty transfer tax estimate is $13,570,000. That's up from $12.7 million in this year's budget. Property taxes, $13,261,116, is up 2.17% due to increases in assessments from additional construction that has occurred over the past year in the county. 1 cent raises $298,000. We still have a strong base, not as strong as what it was in the housing industry, but we are running about 1,200 new single-family homes, building permits per year. Fees for service is our third largest general fund revenue, about 20%, $10 million. The state paramedic grant is $3,657,000. That's 30% of the paramedic department cost, roughly $1.2 million per year, or $1.2 million for each 10% of state paramedic funding. And that has been reduced over the years from 60% down to 30%. Realty transfer tax, as you can see, we had a large boom in terms of our revenues, but now the last few years we're in the $13 million range, and we're projecting $13.6 million for 2012. This is 63% less than the 2005 level of $36.3 million. Realty transfer tax, the county collects 1.5% realty transfer tax in the unincorporated areas of the county. Within towns, the towns collect the 1.5%, and the state of Delaware receives 1.5%, whether it's town or not town. Housing industry revenues have also been affected by the economy. There are other fees that we charge, like building permit fees, building code inspection fees, and so on. Quarter deeds fees, those are also down. In 2006, those fees in this area total $15.7 million, and we're projecting $6.2 million for those fees for the upcoming year. Use of appropriated reserves, we're proud that the last 3 years our budget has zero use of appropriated reserves or available surplus in the general fund. We're trying to develop a sustainable budget without the use of appropriated reserves as much as possible. With that, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Webb.
Good morning. As Dave mentioned, we do have a slight
increase in revenue, but we are still very careful on our general fund expenditures. This is the pie chart showing our different departments and their percentage of total expenditures. Our budget is over $50 million this year, and as he mentioned, we are trying to make sure our expenses are sustainable over the future. As we've seen, we've gotten into a case where our revenues have fallen, and as government grows, then it's hard to come back and reduce your expenses. So we're, even though we have a slight improvement, I'll say, in the revenues, it's like we're dipping our toe in back into some of the expenses and some of the programs that we haven't done in the past. Our largest expense, paramedic department, 24%. This is up 3.2%. However, it is down 10% from 2009. The second largest department, grant and aid program, which is, considers a variety of grants, and we'll cover these in more detail in a later slide. That's down 27% from 2009. The personnel highlights. And this is one of the places where we're sort of dipping our toe in slowly with sustainability. The CPI index is at 3.2% for April, and one of our goals with this budget was to try to do a COLA this year for the employees. It's been 3 years since July 08 since our employees have had a COLA. We're proposing a 2% COLA in this budget and 1% for pensioners with a 750 minimum. We are eliminating the anniversary increases. The pension contribution, we're making our pension contribution as recommended at 11.5%. This is up a half a percent. And we are making our pension benefit contribution for health benefits for pensioners 7.7%, and this is up 1.2%. Those two numbers are huge impacts, millions of dollars in our budget to keep our pension where it should be and our pension health benefits where it should be. Many of these programs are the same. You've seen them in other budget years with vacation and life insurance. We're proposing no changes in health insurance, either in employee contribution or benefit levels. But this year, another thing that we're going to propose is a new tuition reimbursement policy. For the last 3 years, we've kind of put the put that on hold as we needed our funds for other things. So now we're standardizing tuition reimbursement for all departments, for all employees, so that if they see educational opportunities, we're going to help them do that. These are the general fund expenditures by department with a percentage change in 1 year from the budget 2011 to 2012, and then more dramatic from 2009 to 2012. You'll see in the three-year change, 2009 to 2012, seven departments have a reduction in their budget greater than 30%. Many of these departments are when the economy was very, very well, the real estate and industry was very well, and revenues were good, and these departments were doing well, and the reduction has been in the staffing. Which turns into this, the number of full-time employees and the reduction in full-time employees. And the largest decreases again from 2009 to 2012. Personnel is our largest expense, is in any government's largest expense. And we were able to reduce staff 43 positions from 2009 to 2012 with two early retirement options and no layoffs. Here's our public safety budget, $20.3 million. This is 42% of our general fund budget. These categories make up our public safety budget. Paramedic department at $12.2 million. The fire service, and we'll cover some of the detail of the fire service in a later slide, $1.8 million. This is up $300,000. The ambulance service, which is the basic life support reimbursement for their paid ambulance attendants. State police subsidy still in the budget to maintain our 40 state police that we have in this county. This is up $200,000, and that's due to the way that the payroll falls in a year, depending on the weeks. The local law enforcement. This is a partial restoration of cuts that we've had.
What we're proposing is $22,500 to the 21 towns that have a police department. But new this year, we're proposing $11,250 to four towns that hire out for private security service, which will help them out. And the emergency preparedness, which is the budget's flat, it is same as last year. This shows the detail of our fire company grants, $3.3 million, and this bar chart has the same sway as the really transfer tax and as the income, the net income that we've had for the county. As the revenues dropped off, their grants were cut a little bit also. This chart makes up the fire discretionary account, which is their ambulance BLS reimbursement, the grants for their equipment, their rescue trucks, their ambulances, and their aerial devices, the fire service enhanced funding, which is the yellow, which you can see is directly related to revenue also. It is the 0.25% on the building permits, which has a direct correlation to the real estate related field, and that has decreased as well. At one point, it was up over $1.2 million. And five, six, and seven, now down to about $780,000. So they've received less funds as that goes down, because that's a direct pass-through from revenue right to expenses. Something new this year, the fire service grant. What we're proposing in this budget is to set aside a principal investment of funds that the investment income off of this principal will go between the county and the fire company. It will be a dedicated principal investment, and the investment income, if any, that year will be granted to the fire companies. The first 1% will go to the county, the next 4% will go to the fire service, and anything over that, that's 5%, anything over that 5% will come back to the county. We will maintain the principal if we have a year where the stock market or the whatever investment policy is to be determined later is not doing so well and we dip below the principal, then we have to go back and maintain up to that principal. Public safety, and here's another old picture from 1984, the 911 center as it was then, and of course, as we know now, the new high-tech center that we have is just wonderful. 6 years ago, in 2005, calls were just a touch over 85,000, and now, 2011, the calls are over 100,000. This is our grant and aid program, and some detail of what's in the grant and aid. The yellow represents the realty transfer tax that has peaked and has now been reduced, and the same as the grant and aid program where it has peaked, and then grants were one of the first things that we looked at when the economy was bad. Included in this are public safety grants, which are the fire service, state police, and the local law enforcement. Conservation district, which we're proposing to remain the same this year. Open space grant for $61,000. Human service grant, which we're proposing to remain the same level of funding this year. The town realty transfer tax grants, which is the $15,000 that we grant to towns that don't receive $20,000 a year in realty transfer tax on their own. Wastewater relief fund, this is income based and this helps county residents with sewer service charges and sewer connection charges. The wastewater assessment cap grant, which is where assessment fees are capped at 100 feet. This grant is increased this year by $100,000 as we're adding two new districts, the Angola Sewer District and the Johnson's Corner Sewer District, which we'll talk more about later. But this grant is now up to $650,000, and that's how much it takes to maintain that 100-foot cap for our sewer districts. And water and sewer contributions are the same as last year. Also in this budget, the community improvement grant is in the grant and aid, and it remains the same, $150,000. It's the discretionary fund from the council, which is $30,000 each. New in this year's budget is a $25,000 grant for First State Community Action. They are on a capital campaign to build a building and are requesting $100,000 of Sussex County, and we propose to fund that over the next 4 years at $25,000 a year. And also the Housing Emergency Assistant Grant, which was $30,000, we're proposing to increase that to $50,000 this year. We continue to fund the assistance programs that we have for water and sewer in our utility billing department and for property taxes in our treasury department. There are a variety of programs here. Some are based on low income, some are based on disability, and some are based on residents 65 and older. You can find information and detail on this online if you'd like, or call the departments. The libraries, $5.8 million to our budget. This has remained basically unchanged. We continue to do the same level of service for the bookmobile, computer replacements, which are 50% funded by the state. The local libraries will receive a 1.24% increase, and we are looking at building a Greenwood Library expansion or a new building, and we're in the feasibility stage of that feasibility study. We continue to partner with the libraries by providing auditing and financial services, delivery of materials, training and educational assistance, and computer technology assistance. And that's for the 11 independent libraries. This bar chart is interesting as it shows the number of items circulated by all the libraries located in Sussex County in the last 13 years from 1999 to 2010. And this bar chart is the exact opposite of the revenue chart that we've seen, or the realty transfer chart that we've seen. As the revenue and the economy has slipped in the county, the library services have gone up. More people use the library for their free services. They have programs for senior citizens and children and teenagers. They have books and DVDs for free. And they have computers that people can use. They come in, they can do their job applications online or get on the computer if they don't have one at home. So as other departments have been less busy, the libraries have been just as busy plus. 1999, over $800,000 circulation, $800,000 in circulation, and in 2010, over $1.2 million. Here's the detailed funding of revenue source for the local libraries, $1.9 million. The mobile home placement tax, which you can see in 2004, has dropped off to a near very low level. It's about $65,000 to date is what we've collected in that. And as Dave mentioned earlier, the capitation tax, and that's in yellow. And we are not proposing any capitation tax in 2012. We're eliminating that tax. However, we are still committing that $250,000 to the library and making it up in the budget. Did you want that there?
Economic development continues to be a strong priority for the Sussex County Council. We are offering industrial revenue bonds for eligible businesses to encourage construction funding by businesses and provide additional jobs in the county. These are available primarily for manufacturing-type businesses. At our industrial airpark, we have included funding for design of a 500-foot extension of the main runway at the airport, but we are continuing to work towards the plan to bring that up to a 1,000-foot extension at the airport. We believe that that is important for the long-term viability of our industrial park. Marketing plan, we have funds included to develop a marketing plan to provide additional business at our industrial park. an airport and attract other businesses and increase employment and provide a more diversified employment in the county. Sewer construction projects, we have $50 million of sewer construction estimated for next year, which helps provide jobs in Sussex County. Community development, we use local contractors that are bid out for housing rehabilitation work. And our economic development will continue to work to obtain new business and expand existing businesses. They're also working to establish a conference or a seminar type event with business resource partners to help local businesses in the county. Our non-water and sewer capital budget is $7,075,000. And let's skip this slide here. Community development, I did want to mention this. There is $2,557,000 in funding from federal and state sources for housing renovations that is included in the budget. That is down because of cuts in the federal funding. Also included is $50,000 in county assistance for emergencies where people cannot wait on the waiting list, cannot wait for a heater problem, and that sort of thing. Also, we have the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, again, $939,000 reduced level, which is a foreclosed home program, and the county's program has been used as a model in other counties, and also the state is also adopting our model. Non-sewer and water capital projects, $7.1 million. The main big part of that is improvements at our airport and industrial park. $700,000 again is in here for design of the main runway extension. There's $335,000 included for stormwater improvements at the industrial park. $677,000 for pavement improvements, including paving a taxiway that on the east side of the airport towards the Delaware State Police hangar. Greenwood Library, we included $1.5 million for expansion of the Greenwood Library, and the feasibility plan is just about done on that project. That is the state matches that funding. There's $750,000 from the state and $750,000 from the county included there. Emergency communications building, $1.3 million. This is a project to house our communications department at the EOC. That's sort of in a patchwork of smaller buildings right now. Property acquisition, if needed, for land at the landfill. Around our old landfills and airport, possibly an EMS location. Software improvements. This is one of Mrs. Jennings' favorites, and this is a project she's been working on with all the departments, almost every department in the county, to provide a new software for finance and also to keep track of our records. This will help in the planning and zoning department, for instance, in tracking the various developments and applications, and improve the information that we have available to the public and add greater efficiencies in the future. And then there's some funds for improvements at our emergency operations center, the air conditioning and heating system. And one thing I did want to mention, there's $50,000 for that's half funded by the state for improvements on the 20 acres Nanticoke Woodland Park, which is will be a passive type park. Wastewater program, $33.9 million. This is for operations and maintenance and to pay the debt service on our bonds. Our service charges, we're continuing to work towards uniform rates. Our assessment rates are recommended to remain at the same level for fiscal 2011. We are recommending rates that are lower for new sewer districts for Angola and Johnson's Corner that are considerably lower than what was projected in the 2007 referendums. And I'll explain that a little later. Capital items, there is a major increase for major repairs and replacement, $917,000 as our districts, some of our districts are 30 plus years old. 2.9% increase in the number of sewer and water hookups with two new districts coming online. 1.5% increase in operations and maintenance costs. Our system connection charges, which are one-time fees to cover the growth, the idea that growth pays for itself in our sewer district. So as when a new user hooks up, they in a district, they are responsible for a connection fee. Those are increasing 4% based on the construction cost index, which is an inflationary type index. There are 13,000 EDUs hookups, sewer and water hookups in 1988 in county sewer districts compared to over 64,000. Now that's an average growth of 16% per year. We have funds included for pumping equipment and treatment disposal equipment, major maintenance. That this part of the sewer and water budget is up considerably. $2.7 million total, up $917,000. These are some of the projects to replace generators, pump station rebuilds, replace a wet well at South Bethany, and various controls, grinder pumps that need replacement and major work. The service charge rates are part of the user rates that we charge for our sewer districts, and our goal has been and continues to be to work towards a uniform service charge rate structure whereby the service charge rates are the same for each district. And what that means is that we're gradually increasing some of the rates, especially these are served by the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. We're recommending $8 a year, so it's $2 a quarter increase in those rates to cover some of this major maintenance type costs that we've incurred, and also to bring the rates more in line so that we can improve the efficiencies and administrative efficiencies in particular for the sewer districts and have one rate and one or a minimal number of sewer and water funds. Long Neck Sewer, we are recommending a little bit more of an increase, $15, because the base of their service charge rate is starting out lower, $203.94, and we're trying to bring them up together so we can eventually come to a rate in the low $300, hopefully, which will be a uniform rate. Part of the good news we have here is the Angola Sewer District and Johnson's Corner Districts will be coming online. Angola will eliminate approximately 1,431 septic systems, existing septic systems. The cost of the Angola Sewer District is $27 million versus the $33 million estimated in 2007. We have lower cost, and we have stimulus funding that we were able to take advantage of. These two projects were able to take advantage of stimulus funding. There was $1.5 million grant for this project that we did not anticipate, as well as lower interest rates. And the county council contributed $1 million out of realty transfer tax towards this project. As a result of that, we are able to offer the users or the hookup, the new users in Angola, a fee that is 22% less on an annual basis, and also without a connection fee, without this. We're going to fund this with the grant and loan money, the extra grant and loan money that we receive. So they will not, we're recommending that we not charge the connection fee to the new users in Angola. Johnson's Corner is sort of a similar story. $10.6 million cost versus $13.6 million estimate. We received a $1.2 million grant that we did not anticipate from the stimulus funds, and $291,000 grant, STAG grant, that we did not anticipate. And the county council also contributed $500,000 towards these costs. So again, we're not recommending charging a connection fee. The assessment rate's lower, and the service charge rates are lower. So the average typical user in Johnson's Corner with a 100-foot lot would pay $880 a year versus $1,177, which was the referendum was based on. Our major water and sewer capital projects, again, $50 million, and the number of these, we're finishing up the Angola Sewer District. Oak Orchard expansion will come on next fiscal year, but we do not have rates for that yet. That will be a separate public hearing when that area is ready to hook up. Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, spray irrigation treatment plant expansion is underway and will be complete next fiscal year. Johnson's Corner is about ready to hook up. South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, force main and pump station upgrades, a major project down near Fenwick Island. And then there's some other projects listed. A five-year capital project schedule, again, a very ambitious schedule with $173 million of estimated cost. Sewer and water projects are about $140 million of that. And a big chunk of the non-sewer and water is at the industrial park. Budget highlights, no property tax increase is recommended. The average county tax for a single family home is $105.97. Average county tax for a manufactured home, $40.22. We have a tax reduction, elimination of the capitation tax, which is currently $3 per adult resident in the county. So there is a reduction in the taxes. Reduced staffing levels will continue. Plan for a uniform service charge. We continue with funding of 40 troopers, state troopers in the county above the state's allocation. The volunteer fire service funding is up about 10% to $3.3 million, although it is still below 2007 levels. Dog control is in the budget again. There's an increase in pension costs, which is primarily due to early retirement offers. This is something that we anticipated when those offers were made, but we do have, of course, major decreases in cost from those early retirement offers with less staff. 3% increase in health insurance, an ambitious capital plan, an emphasis on economic development, 2.4% general fund increase, and new Angola and Johnson's Corner sewer districts rates considerably below estimates. No use of appropriated reserves in the general fund. We would like to thank the following organizations and individuals. Mrs. Bennett, who was here, wife of the late Robert Bennett, county employees at Delaware Public Archives and the Georgetown Historical Society for their pictures and information that have helped us. And I'd like to especially thank the Budget Committee again. We will hold public hearings on June 14th beginning at 10:15 a.m. Copies of the budget and budget letter will be available on our website beginning today at sussexcountyde.gov. Something that is new is that the public will be able to comment on our website at budget@sussexcountyde.gov. And that's something new that's been set up. Of course, they can comment in writing, by phone, or attending a public comment at our public hearing on June 14th. Again, I'd like to thank our budget committee, our department heads, our employees, and at county council for all their assistance in this process.
Dave, thank you and the budget committee. I know it's a lot of hard work. It's hundreds of hours, you know, that you people spend doing this. And our one goal was to not use appropriate reserves, to live within our means. And I think you've done a great job of doing that. I thank you and Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Roth, and Mrs. Webb for a job well done. Thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The next item we have is we do have two ordinances pertaining to the budget for consideration to be introduced. First is an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2012. Basically, it summarizes some of the individual line items and some of the details about the budget. And then there's a second that pertains to the sewer and water districts with the establishing of the various rates for service charges, assessment rates, and connection charges.
Do we need to have these introduced now?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the first one then would be the ordinance establishing the annual operating budget fiscal year 2012.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Or mean introduce, I'm sorry, not adopt.
Just introduce it.
Introduce it,
right?
Yeah, I'll introduce that.
And the next is the ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment, and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sanitary sewer districts.
And I'll introduce that also. I got a question on that one, David, back from the budget. The connection charges were waived in Angola and Johnson's Corner. That goes year to year, right?
Yes, that's for existing users. The idea is that if someone comes in to build a new home, for instance, or a new development, whatever, then they would have to pay the connection charge.
And what is
but
the,
for the?
It was $3,000 some odd, right? Right. Okay. I was just thinking that's just for existing people.
Just for existing.
There was money in the loan that we did not utilize the building the stuff that they're going to utilize that for their connection fees, correct?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Just to clarify, they're not really waived as much as they are. They're funded within the product. They're still being paid, just not by the residents.
Okay. Yeah. Because throughout the districts, everybody's paying
right
these connection charges. These people didn't have to pay. Okay.
We have done this in the past in some districts, and typically we find that residents, when they object to these connection charges when it's time to hook up, and since the costs were lower and the funding was better than we anticipated, we thought this might be an opportunity to fund these through the extra loan and grant funding that we've received.
We do have a lot of people out there who need that help.
District.
I want to ask a question, Mr. President.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if this is appropriate this time or not, but I'm glad we increased our contribution to the Housing Emergency Assistance Grant. We went from 30, we're going to 50. But I just wanted to make a note that the number of people in line for help has increased now to 1,100. And last year, I believe it was 1,000. The year before, it was 750, so we're not keeping up with these needs.
Okay, anything else? Okay, we will now move on to old business. Mr. Rutt.
Mr.